Blog Talk Radio.
Me Radio Network, and oh, what a great, wonderful Wednesday it is. We can't wait to get into tonight's show because we've missed you for the past 2 weeks. If you didn't get a chance to hear our shows on financial awareness, please go back and listen on podcast. But tonight we have a live show just for you, and we can't wait with me, Simply IV, and the crew. So get ready, because tonight we're talking about everything from Starbucks, the new Equal Justice Initiative, to what's going on in America today. Wow, get ready, and we'll be back in just a minute, right here on Simply IV. Inspirational beauty, but my government name is Kimberly Arrington. I'm so excited to be here. It seems like it's been a long time since I've gotten a chance to talk with you all, and we have missed you dearly. But I hope that you all were able to take advantage of our previous shows that are now in podcast, as well as really any show that you want to like, I mean, that you want to listen to. But we did do a financial series because it was Financial Awareness Month. Last month. We are now in a new month. We are in the month of May. Can you believe it? Time is really, really, really going by. This is what I want all of you all to do before we get started tonight, because tonight is a very important show. Heck, all of our shows are very important shows, right? So this is what I would like for all of you to do who are listening right now, is to let everybody know that we're on, okay? So you can let them know to dial in to 845-241-9898. Or listen to us at blogtalkradio.com/IMMeRadio. Now, you all definitely can tune in and converse with us and have a conversation with us. How do you do that? Well, you press 1 when you want to talk to us, okay? It's as simple as pressing 1, and our producers will let you in. So tonight, we're going to be talking about something that might be something that's on a lot of you all's mind. I know it's been on my mind. And so we thought we would bring it to the forefront. So much has been going on in the news, right? So much. Everything from entertainment news to what's going on politically, what's going on socially. And so where do you really start? Well, we're going to try to touch on a couple of those things. Now, if you all follow me, you know it's Simply IV and the crew. So we have different crew and cast that come in and talk about different things and make us aware about what's going on in our world. So we're going to touch on a couple things. So get ready for that. Once again, guys, go to your social media and let everybody know that we're on by going to dial 845-241-9898 or by listening to blogtalkradio.com/IMMeRadio. So before we get started, I see somebody at our door. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. I see somebody that's ringing the doorbell. Let's see who it is. I think it looks like Click. Come on in. Is that you, Click32?
Hey there, what's happening, sis? How's it going?
What's up? Welcome to Simply IV. How are you?
Doing fine. It's Wednesday. I'm with my family.
It is Wednesday, and it is good to hear your voice. It is good to hear your voice. Let's see if everybody else is happy to hear from you.
All right.
Like everybody, 32 is in the building. Thank you for being here tonight, and as you know, wow, we need to catch up really quickly before we get into tonight's show. How's life been treating you since the last time you've been here on Simply IV?
Oh, yeah. It's been going. Life, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
I'm jump-starting my photography business back off. You know, I took that financial advice last month. So I'm rebooting that.
Right.
Very exciting. So far, so good.
That's
you
wonderful.
Know,
we want to go ahead and congratulate you on that. Absolutely. You know, it's. I'm glad you talked about, you know, getting some of that advice and actually taking it, because so often, I think we're so used to in this culture, we have so many talk shows, we have free libraries, we have so many places we can get information. And so sometimes it just becomes just another piece of information, but we actually don't use it. What made you go from saying, okay, this is some viable information and I'm going to use that? What was that trigger for you?
Okay, you know, I'm kind of transparent. I'm going to be very honest.
Okay.
When our brother said that if you don't have any clients or customers, you don't have a business. I was like, okay, so even though I'm self-employed and I have the name together and I have the business, I ain't been trying to get no clients lately, so I guess I don't have no business. I'm like, oh, we got to change that. We got to change that. So I got started.
We
got to
change. I'm glad you mentioned that.
I'm like, I've been lying.
You know, you're not by yourself. I think what happens is so many people, when they get that business license or they're in that brick and mortar or whatever it is, that's enough to say that they're in business. That's just the beginning, right, Click? That's the beginning.
That's not even the beginning, you know.
You're right.
Being honest about it, that's not even the beginning. By the time you get to that point, you should have your business plan laid out, your goals and all of that stuff before you even tackle that part. Now, I learned that the hard way 4 years ago.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Those things should be a part of the plan before you even get yourself in the debt. Because you need to be able to see your exit strategy and all of those things in there. And unfortunately, most entrepreneurs, when they first start, they don't always get it right. All right? So we're not beating them up, right, Donna? Because I'm a different entrepreneur today than I was, you know, 3, 4, or even 7 years ago. So you learn. And a lot of times, entrepreneurs knock their heads around because we want to skip some steps. You know, there may be 10 steps, but we may want to start at step number 5. But I tell you what, you don't have to revisit number 4, 3, 2, and 1 before it's all said and done. So it's best to start at step 1. Do you know, Click, I did last week, everybody, and I'm going to talk briefly about this before we really go into tonight's show. But I talked last week on giving different steps, very small steps that I use on a daily basis to meet my goals or any of my achievements, okay? I gave 2 of those steps away, okay? And I have about 3 to 4 more steps, but I think I'm going to put in a webinar or some kind of package, okay? I don't think I'm just going to give it away, and I'm going to tell you why. When you give everything away, people don't take it too seriously, do they, Don? They don't take things as seriously as they need to. So there has to be some investment on people's part, but I will share the 2 steps that I use right now really quickly. And that was simply the first step that I used is learning how to imagine, my sense of imagination, and to see the goal already at its expected end. I think that's very important. And at that point, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know, you know, I don't know much, but all I know is that I want to have an expected outcome. That's good enough, right, Donna? So I talked about that process. We all can do that because it doesn't take any money. It doesn't take anything. You just close your eyes and see yourself where you want to be. And the second step was simply write down the expected outcome, everybody. The reason why I said write the expected outcome, we're not planning yet. But the reason I said let's write it down is because thoughts become things. So when we're imagining, we're thinking, right? Now
right.
When we write them down, it's becoming in the physical. Now, even though it hasn't manifested in that car, that home, or whatever yet, writing down is the next step. And so I gave a couple little tips on it. And so I think I'm going to probably next week, everybody, share with you guys how you can get those steps and go a little bit more into detail. Do you think that's something that will help out people, Donna?
Those two right there are a big help if, you know, they apply it. So, yeah, I think going further would be good.
I think so, too. So you guys, you know, please check that out. Now, once again, we have on Click 32. You guys know if you follow us at all, she is one of our crew that tells it like it is. Tonight's show, we're going to be talking, Donna, about is Black America moving in the right direction? You think people want to hear about that?
Of course. If they don't want to, they need to.
They need to. Well, this is what we're going to do. When we come back, we're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to share some information as to what's been going on. You guys have been seeing what's been going on in the news. If you haven't, I'm going to kind of refresh everybody and kind of get your opinions on things. But right now, I think we want to hear from one of the queens. I think she's coming up. We'll be back at 50 hours in just a minute, y'all. I'm coming out. Woo! Those were the days, Click. Now, everybody, we're not saying we are as young as Don Rob. I'm just going to go back with her, okay? All right, y'all. Yeah, we're not over age, but I remember jamming to her when I was a little girl. How about you?
Oh, baby, did I?
Diana Ross, nobody could swing that hair like the women back, those women back in the 70s. You know, you're talking about her, Donna Summer, and all of that, everybody. And sometimes I got to get my Diana Ross on before I really get into the meat of the show. So I want to share that with y'all a little bit. Was that okay? Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So what I would like to do is invite everybody on once again, just before we get started, and everybody. A little while later, we're going to bring LT into the show as well. Once again, invite everybody in to dial 845-241-9898 or listen to blogtalkradio.com/IAmNewRadio. Donna, is Black America moving in the right direction, in your opinion right now? Are we moving in the right direction?
Some are. I think we still need more unity. You know, we're making baby steps, so I would say yes.
Okay, all right.
We just
got to
keep moving forward. Don't stop. Don't go back. Keep moving forward.
You know, that it's very important that you say that because, you know, in recent news within the last week or two, and some of these things we want to revisit because news happens so fast these days with social media. You know, we have something new every day. But very recently, Donna, I don't know if you heard about what happened at Starbucks with the two young Black males that were just in a Starbucks, everyone. You know, this is made national news where they were just, you know, like we all go to Starbucks and we sit down and we don't necessarily buy anything at the moment. We might be waiting on someone. We may be using that as a point of contact to leave and go somewhere else. Because that's kind of like the culture of Starbucks and a lot of the bookstores and coffee shops, right? Well, these two young men were meeting up like anyone else would do, and the manager who was there decided to call the police on them, When they weren't doing anything, they weren't, you know, causing any problems, they weren't bullying other customers or doing anything like that. No one was afraid of it or in fear of their life being in jeopardy. They were just sitting there, and they haven't purchased anything yet, but she called the police. Police comes out and arrests the two gentlemen, and we see it all on videotape, and you see a white male who is the real estate agent is there to meet them to talk about business and say, wait a minute, you know, what is going on? And you see so many people in the video who are saying, wait a minute, I didn't buy anything, and I didn't get kicked out, or I didn't, you know, the police didn't come for me. Why are you all taking them? So we see what was happening. Let's start there before we go into what happened next. You know, what does that say to you, Rick? And why do you think that person called the cops on these two young black males?
First of all, stereotyping. Second of all, the devil. Being messy, racist. Could have had a bad night. I won't go no further than that. But it's just you know, it's that a lot of people, oh well, there's no racism, this is, no one does that, and oh yeah, yeah, and this someone just shows their color. You know, they see everybody else getting away with it, so I'm gonna try it too. I'm gonna be me.
You know, it's interesting. We are in a climate right now, everybody, where we are seeing that. It's like, you know, after the civil rights movement, it wasn't a popular thing in most parts of the country to act like that anymore. Because, you know, we thought we had progressed, you know, we got civil rights. But now we seem to be in, you know, going backwards. It's almost like Jim Crow, you know. There's so much that's been going on. But let's kind of talk about, let me share a little bit about what the CEO is talking about with Starbucks. What I did like, Donna, is what the CEO and his staffing has done that a lot of other companies have not done successfully, and that is coming out immediately saying, this is our responsibility. We are accountable for this. And
yeah.
I think that's the most important part, especially when the head comes in. Because we see so often where this happens and everybody's blaming the victim. Everybody wants to probably go back to policy. But
yes.
The CEO of Starbucks has come out and said no. And because of this, we're going to shut Starbucks down across the nation, and we're going to have race relations training and different types of training. So I commend them for that.
Yes.
And so let's
yes.
go ahead and hear a little bit about that right now. Can we hear a little bit about that? Everybody want to hear that? Let's go ahead and see what the CEO of Starbucks is talking about. We'll be back in just a second.
Protests and calls for a boycott. Now the CEO of Starbucks says he promises to fix all of this. We learned just a few minutes ago, actually, that the Starbucks manager who called the police because two African-American men had not placed an order is no longer working at that store. This comes just after the men who were arrested agreed to meet with the company's CEO. Joining me right now with the very latest on how we all got here is CNN's senior national correspondent, Alex Marquardt. So, Alex, what is happening with this? People are furious.
People are furious. This story isn't going away, and that's because a lot of people don't want it to go away. So what we've seen today is a large protest. In fact, at that shop, it's in Rittenhouse Square in Philadelphia. Around 100 people showed up chanting.
Oh, it's right there in Rittenhouse. Wow. Okay.
Yep. And they saw this apology from the Starbucks CEO, Kevin Johnson, but they wanted to show up anyway just to draw attention to it and make sure that this story does not go away. But for his part, the CEO, Kevin Johnson, has been apologizing profusely. He appeared on morning TV. He put out a video statement on their Facebook page. He put out a written statement. He called this incident absolutely reprehensible. He says, this is not who we are, and it's not who we're going to be. Take a listen.
That in certain circumstances, local practices are implemented. In this particular case, the local practice of asking someone who is not a customer to leave the store, and unfortunately then followed by a call to the police. Now, certainly there are some situations where the call to police is justified, situations where there's violence or threats or disruption. In this case, none of that existed. These two gentlemen did not deserve what happened, and we are accountable. I am accountable.
Wow. Right. So he's taking responsibility there. He also explained that they have 28,000 stores around the world, and each store or each region has different standards, if you will. But there are common standards across the company, of course. Johnson said that they will be retraining the managers on those guidelines, but also, most importantly, on unconscious bias. And Johnson has said, and the company has
said, wow. I think that's very powerful for a CEO of such a large and impactful company, 28,000 stores around the world, to come out and say that. You know, you're risking profit share, you're risking so much, being traded on the big board, you know, New York Stock Exchange and things like that. Those, anytime things like this happen, investors are affected by this. But he came out in a timely manner. He made sure he hit all the national news, and his underlings. Can I say it like that, Donna?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He stood up himself, and so that says a lot, because being a CEO and all of that, a lot of times you have people stand in front of you to make those decisions and to be the bad guy and to take the heat. But America, and to you corporations out there, you all need to take a look at how this gentleman is handling this. You really need to take a look at. I think that was grade A. Do you think that's a step in the right direction, Cliff?
Oh, big time. He just challenged a lot of other companies and businesses.
Yeah, he did.
He stepped up to the plate big time.
Yeah, he did.
So
yeah.
I think that's a challenge to the rest of them to do what they know to be right.
You know, I think that's what it's all about, you know, is that in order for, you know, the name of the show is Black America Moving in the Right Direction, but I think in order for Black America to move, everybody else has to move with us. We have to move in tandem together. Other than that, it's like a civil war again. You know, last time we had a civil war in these parts, you know, the North was fighting the South. And we're going to talk about that a little later because we know what they were trying to. You know what the South is trying to keep, okay? Speaking of that, guys, later in the show, we are going to talk about the Equal Justice Initiative that was just presented in Montgomery, Alabama this past weekend. And, you know, everybody was there from, you know, the best in activists, our entertainers, politicians, and all of that to open up the lynching memorial, which was so profound. They had, you know, different panel discussions there, Usher performed, Common performed, even Stevie Wonder dropped by click, okay? It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you had people all over the world that have come to see this. Isn't that powerful? That is very
nice. Yeah.
That's very, very, very powerful. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the show. Let's go ahead and see if we can bring on LT. You want to see if LT is ready? Let's see if we can go ahead and bring her on really quickly. Everybody, we're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, we're going to go ahead and add LT to tonight's conversation. And we'll be back in just a second on Simply ID. Everybody, if you're listening right now, that's just a little bit of Tamar Braxton. And if you all know anything about the show, we have a segment during the show called What's the Buzz that's given by LT. And so she's given us some new buzz, if you will, about Miss Tamar Braxton. And so a little bit in a few minutes, you will be hearing this week's What's the Buzz. Now, you know that we've been gone the past 2 weeks and you guys were able to listen to our podcast. So we're going to share some things that may have happened last week or whatever. But it's to let you know what's been going on in case you've missed it, okay? All right? So look out for the buzz coming in just a minute. Miss Click 32, okay? Everybody, you're listening to Inspirational Beauty and Click 32 right now, and we're talking about is Black America moving in the right direction. We just talked about the CEO of Starbucks and some of the things that they're going to do. Remember, these guys have a great impact around the world, 28,000 stores. Who else has impact like that? What is that, Walmart? Walmart is probably the only other retailer who has that same amount of impact.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else has other than ExxonMobil, and that's gas.
Yeah.
that's gas. So I don't know if you know this, everybody, you guys probably been keeping up what's been going on with Mr. Kanye West. Ms. Quick 32, have you been hearing about Mr. Kanye West out there and all his comments? The biggest comment that I want to share really quickly, everybody, is the comment that slavery was a choice. We got a chance to hear his TMZ interview and some of his rants on Twitter, and he lost 9 million followers in an hour. I don't know what he's up to now, Quick, but he has been ranting, and he's been seen with a lot of, known white races where they're putting up the symbol and all of that. We've seen it through social media, everybody. And he just looks lost in the eyes, Click. What do you think is really going on with Kanye? And we're going to play some, we're going to hear some things from him and also the young man who got him straight on TMZ yesterday. What do you think is going on with him?
Well,
it's not
I'll
just his opinion,
truth.
But it's his rant.
I'm not a fan, so I don't follow him. You know, I got a little bit, you know, because I was like, okay, well, let me see what, you know, I'm not a fan, so I don't follow him. I hate to say it, but I was looking at the comments and stuff during a section that I did see, and I don't know what he's been saying, but it sounds like he's off his meds.
You know, it's interesting because because of who I am, I try to find something somewhere in his messaging to say, okay, I can understand, right? I'm trying to find it somewhere because the tweets were just, you know, you only have 140 characters with a tweet, okay? So the tweets, I was just like, this Negro has lost his mind. But then I watched an interview that he had live stream yesterday with Charlamagne Tha God from The Breakfast Club. And Charlamagne did really well, by the way, so big up to Charlamagne Tha God. Charlamagne was really good about asking the questions point blank, like, man, what's going on? Do you think Trump hates black people? I mean, you can't get more to the point than that, right? He wasn't skirting the issues. He was asking the hard questions. And I think he was the right person to do it because Kanye needs to talk to a brother right now, right? You know, sitting in front of a well-educated Caucasian right now is what he needs. He needs to have a brother, you know, challenge him. That's what he needs, right? He needs somebody to say, look at bro, right? I'm just going to keep it real.
So this cocktail.
Okay? That's right. When you go there, you got to bring them back in sometime. And so I watched it when I was listening to Kanye. He calls it his stream of consciousness. Okay. All right. We call it ranting. Because he had no clear thought. I could pick up some of it, Donna and everybody else, but it didn't lead anywhere. Okay, so my thing is, okay, either he's high right now or he's kind of off. I think he missed his meds too. But it's clear that he's thinking at a different level, right? He's not thinking in reality, okay? So I listened to that, but what really got me was the TMZ interview where he's sitting in front of a black gentleman and the white guy that owns TMZ. Y'all know him. They're always on the show, right? The guy with the long braids, I think he's the producer, and then the owner, right? And he's sitting in front of them, and you can look at the brother, Donna, and he's saying right there, slavery 400 years. You know, by that time, it's a choice. And you can just see the anger that this brother was trying to just hold back and just look at him. And I'm looking at the white guy, too, and nobody's affirming him. You know, usually you look at somebody to shake their head or not. They just looking at the brother, right? So what I'm... But what I want to do, everybody, is in case you didn't see it, please go check it out and see how this brother intelligently laid him low. So let's hear a little bit of the recap from, I believe, today, right quick, Donna. And you get to hear a conversation between the young black man. I think his name is Van, everybody. I want to get his name right. And then the owner. And they're talking about the interview on yesterday. And let's kind of hear a little bit of that. All right? And we'll be back. And me and Quick, we're going to discuss this. We'll be back in just a second right here on Simply ID, y'all.
So how was your day yesterday? Crazy. It's a regular Tuesday at work. So I want to talk about something. I did not sleep last night. Mm. And I've been thinking about this. And first of all, I thought you were spectacular.
Thank you.
I think you were really eloquent, and I think you made the points a lot of people were thinking about, but in a way that was almost poetic. Mm. That said, I looked at this again, and everybody, the media is now, everybody's seizing this headline, Kanye West says slavery is a choice. Mm. I thought the words he used were insane, but I have kind of thought about this and looked back. He hooked up with Candace Owens a week ago because of her comment about slavery, specifically that she was saying, and again, you may disagree with this, and it's certainly up for disagreement, but she was saying that you can't be rooted in the past, you've got to look in the future, and you can't feel like a victim now about things that happened in the past. Mm. Now, again, you may disagree with that, but that's the view that she had that hooked him into her.
Right. He's trying to shake people away from being victims and get them to assert their power.
That's right.
Understand.
So, you know, he's not stupid, and he could not have been saying that slavery was a choice for slaves, that they could have walked away. There's just, he can't be stupid.
Okay. I think it's important and to look at the context of what he actually said, and the thing that kind of got me out of my seat was he said, slavery 400 years at a certain point, that's a choice. Now, the only reason why you have to combat ideas like that very vehemently is because if Kanye West does know, maybe he doesn't, the actual mechanism of slavery and how it worked, it was obviously far from a choice.
Clearly.
And there were several different fronts that war was fought on, psychologically, physically, the actual ripping apart of homes and families that kept people entrenched in the sort of pain that permeated well after slavery.
And in some ways got worse.
So I think that any hint of slavery being a choice for African Americans.
But do you think he was saying that slaves had a choice not to be slaves?
I don't know what I think he said.
What do you think?
I just know what he said.
I don't know. Yeah. What he said was ridiculous.
Yeah.
When you look just at those words, but then when you look at other things he was talking about, where he was talking about victims, where he brought Candace on, the whole thing, do you think he was really saying that slaves had a choice?
I think his overall point is to get people to divorce themselves of their victimhood. Once again, me and Kanye West are in agreement on that. But I think
his words were just wrong.
Right. I think the point that he was trying to make, is Kanye West, if the question is Kanye West pro-slavery or is he blaming African Americans for slavery, I highly doubt it. But I think that context and restraint are very important when you're trying to make a salient point.
I agree.
And I think that he missed out on the opportunity to do that because he was in a stream of consciousness rant.
I agree.
Still though, you know, kind of our responsibility in the community and people who want to help out is we have to make sure that we call them in when...
No, absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. But do you think that the headline, Kanye West says slavery is a choice...
Okay, everybody. We are back on Simply ID, and if you're listening right now, we are listening to the conversation with the staffer and the owner. Forgive me, I don't have their names right now, guys. You know who I'm talking about. If you watch any television or look at social media, they're kind of doing a recap of what happened between the TMZ staffers and the interview they had yesterday with Kanye West. And, you know, what I find very interesting, Donna, is that here's my thing. Can I just go to the hard left real quick, Donna?
Yes. Yeah.
For everybody out there, this is what I want to say. And, you know, y'all don't take this the wrong way. Like the young gentleman, the young black male who's talking, he's saying, you know, there is context in which you say things. The owner, I guess he was trying to get the guy to say, well, what do you think he really meant? Okay, that's another conversation that we can try to interpret. But all we know is what he said. Okay, and so when you say things and you have a platform like that, we got to call you out. We can't go into, well, what we think you meant. No. You have a powerful voice, and we just have to go with what you said. The hard lesson I'm going to make is when it comes to us pulling back our own, sometimes I think white males should sit down and take the back seat. That's not your let us deal with this first, okay? Don't get us to try to understand what he's saying. Can I say that, Donald? Let me go ahead and say that. What we need to no, like, let us be, like your boy Farrakhan would say, no, sit down. You don't have the right to talk about this. We have the right, okay? Because, see, there comes a point in time where we have to discipline our own, because you don't know, you have the intelligence to talk about it, but you don't have the journey and the understanding to talk about it, okay? So it hit us at a different level when Mr. West made these statements. When he made it, and you all heard it, that are non-black or who haven't had this type of struggle in America or around the world, you may feel some type of empathy. But I don't think that, like I said, Donna, and this is just me, and for any of those who are listening, give me your opinion. You might agree with me, you may not. But I think Charlemagne the God was in the position of being able to call the brother back, okay? I think Farrakhan would be in the position to say, brother, let's talk. But I think when you are not of that history, you don't understand yet. Hold on. We're going to let you back into the conversation, but you're not mm-hmm. the one to move that conversation along. What do you think about that and what you heard so far? And even what I'm saying.
And you can sympathize with people or a people or someone 100 different kind of ways. But mm-hmm. to have empathy, you have to be experienced firsthand what
mm-hmm.
that person
mm-hmm.
is. Yeah, I understand.
That's
I just
right.
went through
That's
this.
Right.
Personally,
That's right.
I feel
That's
like
right.
when you empathize, you have a personal experience with whatever it is.
Right.
Now, I commend him for not, and see, people love to do that. What you think he was talking about? How the hell am
right.
I supposed to know what the man was thinking?
That's right. Come on now. That's what he's
saying. See, you're going to get me in trouble with him.
That's right.
But that was a prime mm-hmm. example. Think before you speak. Because
That's
when
right.
you say something,
right.
it's like a bullet.
Right.
You can't reach out and grab it back. That may
no.
not be exactly what you meant. But
mm-hmm.
kind of people that took it to just the way you said it.
That's right.
Took it
and
just
we
the way
gotta
you
hold
said.
You up. We have to hold you accountable of that.
Yes.
You're not somebody just at the local grocery store, and that's going to affect a school of thought around the world. Kanye
yep.
is an icon before you know, and he hasn't even
he
made
was.
Maybe 40 yet. Okay, and but see, here's the thing too. He's going to probably get even more people jump on just to see what he's going to do next, right? We don't know
yep.
how this is really going to play out, but the man has a voice, and it's a powerful voice. And so we got to call him to the carpet, and we got to say, come here, my brother. Come here. Come here. You know? And this is not the time for the other cultures right now to say, well, maybe this is what he meant. No, sit on down. We know what he said. So the next time
mm-hmm.
he opens his mouth, he will have some semblance to say, wait a minute, and let me go with what, let me think about this, or let me just say no comment. Everything that we
exactly.
say doesn't need to be put out there. Me as Inspirational Beauty Click and you as Click on this platform, we have a voice and people are listening. And it would be irresponsible of me or you to say something like that, whether we
right.
went through that or not. I think it's insensitive. And I think it has no place. We can have a difference of opinion, but to say something like that, I bet you won't go back to the Shy where he grew up and say that to his grandma. I bet he wouldn't. I bet everybody.
Now, one thing that they
everybody.
Did say, IB, is like I said, I didn't catch it because I don't follow him. I'm going on what they were just discussing. But they say that he was
right.
ranting.
Yes,
so,
yes.
you know, like I said, I missed all of it. Now, that's when you really have to be careful what you say, because we all guilty of
yes.
it. Get into a
mm-hmm.
high-strung vent, and we say something that I didn't mean it that way, but it's too late. Because when you say it,
yeah.
it's going to hit that other person with impact, whether you meant it that way or not.
Right.
Now,
the
you could have caught the few that
influence.
Yeah.
You know, so what if he was Martin Luther King would have come out? Yeah, he's ranting and he's. And see, here's the thing. He is going on Twitter just like our president, right? Really, the job description of the president, he's supposed to be, you know, the chief of commander of a nation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when he has time to tweet. He's supposed to be running a nation, okay? I don't understand that. But here it is. One is an artist who is a singer, you know, a rapper, and one is supposed to be the president of the free world. To be able to have time to rant the way that they do, everybody has opinion, but they have, first of all, the president of the free world, everybody in the world knows who he is. So he is going to impact with anything that he says, all right? We
mm-hmm.
have Kanye West
mm-hmm.
considered very iconic already. It's going to impact. So, no, you can they cannot afford to rent the way that I would if I go to the grocery store, okay?
Right.
And their position does not allow them to do that. And that's where you change the dynamic of someone saying, wait a minute, I heard from Kanye, and he's saying you're my brother, versus I heard from Kanye, and he's saying y'all chose this. Because these voices matter to everyday folk. And so we gotta call them out. The brother told, you know what, I'm going to say this for those who didn't listen in. I know you didn't catch it either, but when Kanye was at TMZ, he goes on to say, well, I'm not thinking free. This is not free thought. You know, I'm not thinking free. And the brother said, I don't know what you're thinking. But no, you're not. Matter of fact, you're not thinking. But he did it with love. He did it with care. But he broke him down. And Kanye couldn't do nothing but respect it. Couldn't do anything but respect it. And the young man went on to say, I'm disappointed. I'm appalled. Because here's the thing. When you go off and make music and you live the way that you live above those comments, okay? You get to go
yep.
home and live as Kanye West, and you deserve to be able to live the way you live because your artistry has allowed that for you. But here's the thing. When you make comments like that, the rest of us, we live or die by those comments, okay? We're
yeah.
on the streets with those comments. And so you got to be responsible, brother. And I just appreciate it that he was able to do that. He felt comfortable enough, no matter who Kanye was, to say, I don't know what you're thinking. You're not thinking. I really appreciate
it. Straightforward.
Let's go ahead and see what Will I Am of the Black Eyed Peas, what he had to say really quickly. And when we come back, we're going to hear from LT and see what's going on with the rest of the country. He's going to come back with What's the Buzz. And hopefully we can get a little bit of power moment in. And 911, oh my goodness, he has a rant as well. We'll be back. I'm Simply IV in just a second.
I love some time away from music to focus on the ITV talent show The Voice UK. Will I Am is planning to get back in the recording studio and also working on a special design project, and he joins us now. Always lovely to see you.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Good to ask good you to first you, off about Kanye West. He's an extraordinary maverick character. He's been on this tweet storm for a week now. Mm-hmm. Last night enraged a lot of people, a lot of African Americans, by saying slavery for 400 years was a choice. What did you feel when you heard about that?
That broke my heart because I thought about my grandma, who was born in 1920, and her connection with her mom, who raised her, who was born in late 1800s, and my grandmother's grandma, who was a slave. And when you're a slave, you're owned. You don't choose if you're owned. When you're a slave, you're deprived of education. That's not choice. That's by force. So, I understand the need to have free thought. But if your thoughts aren't researched, that is just going to hurt those that are still in conditions where it's not choice that when they go down the street, there's a liquor store and fast food restaurant, and your education is not being funded the same way it is in Calabasas, when governments are stifle and limit the amount of money that goes to Chicago, Watts, Bronx, Fifth Ward, Mississippi, East Los Angeles, where I'm from. Right, I know because I've contributed to the ghetto that I come from, where I teach our kids robotics, mm-hmm. computer science. If the zoning, added up to the point where our kids are getting a proper, investment for their education, I wouldn't have to raise money, use my own money for robotics programs and college preparation programs. So that statement was one of the most ignorant statements that anybody that came from the hood could ever say about their ancestors, that slavery is a choice. What are you talking about?
You know Kanye.
Yeah, but that's not Kanye.
All right, y'all heard it from here. Wow. I want to go ahead and give you the last statement that we heard from Will.i.am. He said the most ignorant statement that anybody from the hood can say. Quit 32, do you agree with that or no?
Oh, yes, indeed. Especially nowadays and times. Oh, that was the wrong thing to say. No. But I don't think it would have ever been the right time to make a statement like that.
Like that.
You know.
Right.
And I agree with Will.i.am that, you know, when you talk about slavery, and of course he was talking about 400 years of slavery, but there are a lot of situations that you can kind of say is like slavery. You know, women are being abused in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
They have been beaten down.
Mm-hmm.
Their free will has been taken from them. Their identity has been beat out of them. Same as for some men and our children. That's a form of slavery. And you're going to say they choose to be in that situation?
Wow, that's very powerful. And you're right, for those of you who don't necessarily share our history, but you can relate to what Donna is talking about, because slavery does come in many forms. Bondage comes in many forms. Oppression comes in many forms. When you don't allow another human being to have the same free will that you have, that's slavery, okay? And then to take measures further, to then say, I'm going to handicap you and I'm going to allow you to be free in terms of, you know, no chains and no shackles, but I'm not going to educate you properly. I'm not going to give you opportunity. I'm not going to give you a leg up. And so all of that is a result of what we're seeing now. Wow. Let's go ahead and bring LT into the conversation, everybody. LT, welcome to Simply IB. How are you?
I'm here. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. We have our sister Click 32 here as well. Let's see. I think the crowd wants to say hello to you.
Hey, LT. Hi.
Well, you've been hearing the conversation. There's been a lot going on, and I want everybody to get a chance to hear a little bit of your entertainment news as well. But tonight, we've been talking a little bit about, or kind of giving kudos to the Starbucks CEO for what happened with those two gentlemen. But we're also talking about, you know, Mrs. West and some of his rants he just made. What would you like to share with us tonight before we get into what's the buzz?
Okay. With regards to the Starbucks situation, I was happy to see the resolve that the two gentlemen were able to settle with the city for $2, a dollar apiece, and then the $200,000 is the foundation. And so I'm happy that, you know, $200,000 is going to go towards them, towards a nonprofit organization that's going to help with education and helping those who want to go into entrepreneurship. So I'm really excited to see that out of a negative situation, we're able to finally get something positive. That's what I want to say about that. Because, you know, it could have easily turned into a negative situation. And those two young men did not want it to be that way. And they could have let people get in their ears and tell them all the things they could and could not do. But I think for the best outcome moving forward, to keep the doors of conversation open so that we don't have to keep revisiting this situation, I think that was the best outcome for everyone. With regards to Kanye, I had not had an opportunity to hear him. I did have, however, hear the recording you just played a few minutes ago with the two gentlemen. I'm always a controversial person. How I feel is, I think Kanye in some ways is unstable. I disagree with his delivery. I do disagree that slavery was a choice. That wasn't a choice back then. That was never a choice. We have a choice to accept our history, decide where we go now, given the history, where do we go now moving forward? How do we embrace making different changes and not to continue to be victims of our history? No other culture has been victimized like us. However, they have been victimized but have found ways to move forward. I think when we can collectively come together as a community, we're so ripped apart that we haven't figured out how to work together to help each other move beyond it. And so it does become divisive sometimes, the conversation that we have. And it's like, oh, you're not for black people, or you, or this, that, and the other. And I think we're all saying the same thing. I just think we're trying to approach it totally different. And those approaches may not seem like a unified effort. And that is what keeps us divided. And I think that's where Kanye is, to make those statements on that level. I don't think he's deeply rooted into the black community enough to be able to even speak on that level, to even speak that way. At least speak intelligently and speak forward. I don't know what he meant to say. Like you said, it's what he said, and I only can go on what he said. And even to come back and try to explain that, he's consistent in his ranting, if that makes sense. When he was going on about Taylor Swift, when he went off on Jay-Z, his rantings are consistent, and that lets me know that I believe there's something deeper going on with him. I'm not a doctor, but just coming from the mental health world, there's some different things that, while some of his ideas still seem real grandiose, some of those things got little trickles of truth, but I think they're just distorted really bad. That's how I feel. I do feel he needs to get around people who can help him explain or say what it is he needs to say. But he fired his manager because he said he didn't need to be managed, that he couldn't be managed. He's gotten rid of a lot of his team. So when people start doing things like that, he can relate to Trump, because think about what Trump has done. He's fired some of the people around
him.
He does the same thing. So I'm not necessarily surprised, because he has an affinity for him. That's my take on
does.
It. I don't agree with
that's
his ranting, but I just I just see lots of similarities. When you see, I think he admires Trump. I think he admires his position. I even think that he wants to be him at different points. He's hinted about possibly running for president in 2020. People do need to be concerned about that. Because that might be a real possibility. And he's aligning himself with someone who was doing very similar things. So if you look at Trump and look at everything that Kanye has done, there are very close similarities. That narcissistic behavior, I'm God, I am the mentality that can't nobody do what can be done but me. He even thinks he's better than Jay-Z. So when you all really sit back and look at his movement, he's being consistently erratic, if that makes sense.
So
that's my impression of him. So.
You gave a lot of great points there, everybody. If you're listening, you know, something that I want to bring to the forefront that, you know, that you don't hear, you made a lot of great points in the sense that, you know, I see now, you know, Kanye, he does admire Trump, those things that you mentioned. And in his, you know, it's like he has this skewed view of reality. So he's taking characteristics from this man and trying to make – it's almost like he's negating the other ones, okay? And he's looking at the ones that he really likes. And that's very dangerous, because we know what Trump is doing with this country already. I mean, it's just it's in a bad way right now. Can you all hear me okay? I hope I'm not talking to myself. Okay, wonderful. You made a lot of great points, and you're right. I think there are a lot of mental things going on with Kanye, and you're right. You know, firing everybody and people that keep you grounded and all of that, those do lend to the same thing that Trump is doing, because we all believe, whether people say it or not, I'll say it, I think something is mentally going on with our president as well. I don't think he's all there. I don't think the man is just totally stupid. I think that he has some mental issues. I think he has a lot of narcissism, megalomaniac issues, and things like that. But I think he has he rants just like Kanye. Guys, let's take a second, right? When we come back, we're going to hear from LT and what's the buzz. But I want you guys to hear from the director and founder who created or brought the Alabama lynching memorial to Montgomery, Alabama. Very eloquent in his approach, and he really explains things in a way where I think everybody can sit there and listen. So we'll be back in just a second on Simply IB.
And the New Yorker reports on a new museum and memorial in Montgomery, Alabama, for America to confront its legacy of slavery. The Memorial to Peace and Justice is expected to open in 2017, and this would be the biggest and most comprehensive memorial for the thousands of people who were lynched. It is the latest project from Brian Stevenson, the founder and executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative. His organization has helped spare the lives of more than 115 wrongly condemned death row prisoners. He's back with us at the table to discuss this new memorial. Hello, Brian. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
This is probably one of the, how would you describe it, taboo subjects that certainly nobody wants to discuss, and then to say, let's put it in a memorial. What is your thinking here?
Well, I don't think we've done a very good job of recognizing this history, and I think we've been compromised by that. When you go to South Africa, you are confronted with the legacy of apartheid. If you go to Rwanda, they make sure that you understand what genocide did. If you go to Germany, you can't actually go many places in Berlin without seeing the markers and the stones that have been placed at the homes of Jewish families that were abducted during the Holocaust. The Germans actually want you to go to Auschwitz to confront soberly that legacy. In this country,
why is this so difficult?
Well, I think it's important because when you do that, you change your identity. You change your relationship to these histories of mass atrocity and violence. But when you don't do that, things linger. The smog created by that history of racial inequality continues to compromise our health. And in this country, we haven't done that about slavery, about lynching, about segregation. There's no place in this country where you can go and have an honest experience with the history of
lynching. And why? Do you think it's because it's too painful?
I think it's because we have created a narrative of denial. We've created a narrative that says we're not going to talk about the mistakes we make. We do the Olympics great, we do success great, we do pride great, we do victory great, but we don't do mistake very well in this country. We don't do error very well. We have a hard time collectively saying, I'm sorry. I think it's because we've become such a punitive society. We think if we own up to our mistakes, something bad is going to happen to us, we're going to get punished. And I'm not doing these projects because I want to punish America. I want us to be liberated from the chains that this history has created. And it would be different if we didn't want to talk about the past. That's not our dynamic here. In the South, the landscape is littered with the iconography of the Confederacy. We love talking about mid-19th century history. In Montgomery, there are 59 markers and monuments to the Confederacy. Our two largest high schools are Robert E. Lee High and Jefferson Davis High. Confederate Memorial Day is a state holiday. Jefferson Davis's birthday is a state holiday. We don't even have Martin Luther King Day. It's Martin Luther King / Robert E. Lee Day. We are preoccupied with the mid-19th century history, but we won't talk about slavery, and that creates a problem. And so this project is aimed at trying to change that. We've got to resurrect this history. We've got to talk about the challenges created by slavery. We've got to talk about the challenges created by lynching. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that that was terrorism. We menaced and traumatized millions of African Americans in this country. At the beginning of the 20th century, 90% of the black population lived in the Deep South, and then they fled by the millions.
Wow, you are listening to the executive director and founder who brought the Alabama Lynching Memorial, and also he is the founder, let me just say this, of the Equal Justice Initiative, who has also been very successful in freeing, I believe, over about 116 men and women for wrongful prosecution. So this is a very important work that he does, that he takes on, and I love how he so eloquently brings the conversation to the table where he's not judging anyone, even though he has the intellect to be able to do that, but he brings understanding. And so I really like that about this gentleman. I don't know if you all got a chance to see the piece he had with Oprah. He brought her down first to let her see the memorial before it opened to the public, and it was very powerful. So when you all get a chance, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or go to any of the apps on NBC or whoever did the interview. I think it was NBC. And check that out, okay? And so you all can see firsthand. What did you all think about that? Elsie, what did you think about the way that he explained? And he was talking to Gail, Oprah's best friend. Did he do a good job explaining why this is necessary that we have this memorial?
Hello?
Well, it seems like we're having a little technical difficulty here.
Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. There she is.
Sorry about that, everyone. I don't know how far you all got into that. Were you all able to hear the what the gentleman was talking about, the executive director?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
and I think
okay, good.
You and LT was having mic difficulty.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, because this gentleman, he was able to come in and, you know, he is the director and founder of the Equal Justice Initiative, okay? And so they are responsible for freeing over about 115 men and women who have been wrongly convicted. That's powerful, right? And
yeah.
So he was able to come in and talk so eloquently about something so heinous in our history in a way where he wasn't judgmental, even though he could do that. But he did a great job with that. He was talking to Gail, right? Oprah's best friend, as a matter of fact. And for those of
he
you
did
who didn't
amazing.
Get a chance, he did amazing. He brought some understanding to the table, right? And he said
yes.
Something that really stood out to me that says, Gail asked, why don't we talk about it? Is it too painful? And he made a great
mm-hmm.
point by saying that, you know, in this country, we're in denial. We do success well. We do the Olympics well. We do all of these other things well. But when it comes
not
to that part of, yes, errors and mistakes, we don't want to talk about it. And so he's so right. He could have taken that moment to really break down white folks. But he took that moment to give us some more understanding, to say, listen, I did this as a way to say this is an error, this is a mistake, okay? Now, I'm going to use those terms loosely because we know that it wasn't a mistake in the sense of what they did. But it's a mistake in the way that we're handling it by treating it as though it's never happened. America has turned its back as though America has never done this to people of color. And so I love that he brought this up front to say, listen, I'm putting these images up front because it's something that we need to be able to talk about. And he's right. When you go to other parts of the world, they want to make sure you know that they are remorseful and sorry for the things that they've done to other people. And they put, you know, Germany didn't have to put anything out there for the Jewish culture. You would think that the Jews would do that, right? But
mm-hmm.
Germany wants to make sure that we know, that the world knows, we are sorry for what we have done to a people, right? When you go to South Africa, when you go to these other places. And I think we need to know that as a country because we don't know those things. So America does need to make that apologetic stand. And then, of course, some other things need to take place. And I think that goes towards the healing, not just that of African-Americans or black folks, but to America. You got to say you're sorry to someone and acknowledge the pain and the hurt and what has been done to you before you can go to the second step. Can we agree to that? I think we can agree
yeah.
to that. So,
yeah.
What's your take on that? And I think that's where we got to start. It has to be acknowledged. What would you say about that?
I had never thought of it that way, and that was, like you said, that was something that stood out to me because I had never thought. We are good in so many areas as far as the United States, and we can't admit our wrongdoings and say, I'm sorry, and try to at least make up for it or prove we made a mistake.
Right.
We can't
right.
even do that.
We can't
and
even do that.
And knowing and
mm-hmm.
hearing that explains a lot about why we can't move forward. First of all, you have to acknowledge you were wrong.
Yeah, that's the first step.
Own up to it.
Then
let's correct it. You know, like I said, they have the monuments and everything in all these other countries and stuff to where it's in your face. You know, we did this. We are
mm-hmm.
sorry.
That's right. We are sorry.
And
we
then
need
he
to take
made
a
the
lesson.
Comment about the Confederacy and everything. And when I live
mm-hmm.
here in the South,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
it's still in our in your
in
face,
our face.
That, yeah,
mm-hmm.
we did it. Yep.
That's right.
And the moment we want to put up a motherland flag or something, oh, it's going to be some shotgun popping off somewhere. You know?
Why?
Oh, he made a big oh, my goodness.
He is a very, very smart, intelligent, but very compassionate man. He understands the systemic and the structural issues that are intricately woven into racist America or prejudices that we all have. He understands it. And it's not as black as white as saying, get over it. It's not as black as white as saying, you know, I apologize. We don't have that history. We have a very complex history. But I think what he's doing is going to really make a mark on our psyche, and it should. And I think what needs to happen, like in all modern history, when people have been done wrong, is that from the highest of offices, the apologies have to come.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
They have to come from the highest office. And so I know that when the Kennedys were, or when we had President Kennedy, you know, that was a move in the right direction for America because he wasn't afraid. Now, he was assassinated later, he and his brother, and I really think it was because they were ahead of their time and they believed that all men were created equal and we have to stand for our brothers of color as well. We would have seen the world shift back then, I think, at faster if we still had, you know, John F. Kennedy during those eras, that height of the civil rights movement. And so we got to have another president to be able to make that declaration like every other president around the world. The UN recently, I don't know if you all are aware of this, but the UN, the United World Community, which I'm going to stand in front of real soon and talk about what's going on in humanitarian efforts. It's been a lifelong dream of mine, and so you all pray for that for me. But it looks like it's going to come to fruition. This is my first time talking about it. I'm going to leave it right there, okay? I'll talk to you guys about it later, okay?
Okay.
But it's powerful, okay? And so even the UN is saying, America, you have to step up, and this is what you need to do on the behalf of the people or the black people that are in the Americas. And we've seen the conversation between some of the universities here that purchase slaves that have gotten in touch with the UN and saying, we are going to pay for 284 slaves that we purchased. I believe that was Georgetown University. We got to talk about it. We got to talk about it. The UN, the world community is saying, America, it's time for you to step up and make this right. So I understand the whole idea of not thinking of a victim, okay, and being a victor. I understand self-accountability. I understand all of that. And those are individualized ways of thinking right now. But collectively as a race, we have to be able to reclaim our identity collectively. See, that makes sense. Can I get real? Can I get real, y'all?
Yeah.
So it don't make sense if I just arrive by myself. That what does that mean? All right, me and a couple of other people, and we've arrived. You know, we're doing well. We're making money. We have a little bit of impact. Until your brother has made it, you haven't done much. And what I mean by that, everybody has a level of responsibility, but when you have been victimized for over 400 years. It's not as simple as think positive. And I'm inspirational beauty, and I'm saying that, all right? So let me go on record in saying that our issues are deeper than just thinking positive. That's a slap in the face. It's insensitive, and it's really not understanding the history that this nation was built upon. Right quick, y'all, we're going to come back. We're supposed to go ahead and hear from LT and bring her in with it. You probably do need to shift, but when we come back, I want to hear your thoughts on that. You may agree, you may not. And it's okay either way. It's all in love, everybody. Once again, if you want to talk to us directly, you want to press 1, okay? Right? For those of you who are listening by device, if you can't press 1, please send us an inbox, and we'll probably get your question out there. But right now, we're going to take a little bit of moment with a little bit of This Is What I Like, and we'll be back on Simply IV, y'all.
I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So go on and get to clapping. Go pop a phone, plan. Pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan. Drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Pop the tail for dinner. Coolio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in.
on 6IB, y'all. Just a little bit of That's What I Like by Bruno Mars. Had to transition a little bit because I was going off to the left. Did I make a hard left flick? I know, L.
You were all right. You did good. You did good.
You know, everybody, for those of you who are not familiar with me, I just go to tell you, along with me being a radio host, I'm also a part of a national organization, which is called the National Congress on Faith and Social Justice. So I deal with a lot of social injustices around the country, and I deal with a lot of the, you know, what you all see, you know, on the media, you know, with families. And but see, here's the thing: what I want everybody to know as well. As a host, I get a chance to talk about it and hear from you all, right? And to talk about it and to vent and to really, you know, just to hear what you all are thinking. But, you know, working within those organizations, we're not just talking about it, we're affecting policy, all right? So we're dealing with lawmakers and we're dealing with the people who make decisions, senators and Congress and all of that. So I want you all to know that we're just not an organization that's out there saying, you know, give us our freedom, okay? We're in the 21st century. That doesn't work anymore, does it? That doesn't work, okay? So just want to let you all know where this passion comes from. You got it, Click?
I got it.
All this passion, guys, okay? It's channeled and it goes somewhere. Let's go ahead and bring Click 32 out. Really, I mean, not Click. I'm sorry, LT. We want to go ahead and shift this a little bit. What's going on? You ready for the buzz? I'm sorry, dog. We just been going at it tonight.
That's so funny.
Do we?
I was just listening, but it's okay. You've already banked back towards center, so I'm going to let us stay where we are. So.
Well, tell me, because you made some really, really valid points, and we got a chance to hear from the executive director of the Equal Initiative, Equal Justice Initiative, and he explained some things in a way where I think most people have not been able to do. I really respect and admire how he was able to do that. Do you think that he did a good job with sharing?
I think he did a good job. I do. I guess my thing is, my analogy is like asking, when it comes to asking for an apology, the people who we need an apology for are dead and gone. And that would be like asking my children to apologize for something that I did before they were even born. I had no thought about having them. And that's just my own opinion. No one has to agree with me. And, you know, but that's my opinion. What I would like to see, I don't want an apology from America. I would like to see inclusiveness from America. I would like to see respect from America. But I don't need your apology because you didn't do it.
And that's how I feel about it.
You know, I don't want anybody paying for the sins. I don't want my children paying for my sins when they had nothing to do with it. Moving forward.
Well, here's the thing, and
I appreciate that. You know, who we are right now, there's a level of accountability for who we are, each one of us, black, white, pink and purple, who live here in America. We can fight to make sure that they, you know, that we allow other nationalities to come into America and have a chance at life. But what about the people who are already here? That's the part of it. This is the America I hold accountable. This America that says it's okay to let an animal be treated with more compassion than you do homeless people. I think, as our brother and sister, when you're talking about arriving, none of us have arrived. Even as a race, as black folks, if we arrive and then other nationalities suffer and perish, we still, none of us have arrived. There's accountability for humankind. And I think if we can really get to that whole working collectively thing, no matter what color you are, we would see such a huge difference, such a difference. But we don't know how to do it together first. You have to do it together.
All right.
That's the charity starts at home. So, you know, that's just, like I said, that's just kind of my take on it. Agree to disagree, whatever. But that was just my opinion.
Well, we heard it here. LT is saying, listen, she doesn't need an apology. And I believe a lot of people feel that way. I think for those who
you know, I don't think an apology by itself is going to do anything. But I think within the apology, there's an acknowledgement. And I think that's the more appropriate word, is that America has to acknowledge its wrongdoing. And whether that's in form of an apology or some type of statement that goes on record, it needs to be documented. And so you may not say the words, "I'm sorry," but just like what the CEO has done with Starbucks, he came out and said, "I'm accountable." And he didn't have to do that. He could have done like a lot of CEOs did. And I think that changed the tide. If a CEO of an organization who had nothing to do with what his manager did that day and come out and acknowledge a wrongdoing to change the conversation, and look how quickly Starbucks has bounced back. I think that's what we're needing. It's not just an actual apology, but the acknowledgement that it brings with it. And so I think that we can make a hodgepodge of this thing to take it to the next step. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah, I hope that, and I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Oh,
with
okay,
that,
good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I can hear you, and I
yeah,
agree.
Yeah. I think, you know, if we listen and we find out the best ways to do things, and America, once again, at the end of the day, it should be for all of us. And I think once America acknowledges what it did to its first people, you know, the Native Americans, and then what it did to us, then we can start going on and looking at and being accountable what we're doing to other races and things like that. At the end of the day, we are the human race. We really are. But we have to start with us right now. What we're going to do real quick, why don't we shift real quick, LC? Can we go ahead and see what's going on in entertainment news real quick before we get out of here? Let's go ahead and see what you got going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. You guys sit back and check out what happened a couple of weeks ago while we were on hiatus. There was a lot happening in entertainment news, so sit back and check it out. What's the buzz right here on Simply IV?
All right, y'all, check it out. We'll be back in a second on Simply IV. Next up, what's the buzz?
Now look at you walking in here looking all pretty and angry and mean and good. I know you didn't get your head done so you could just sit down and just sit there.
Hey, we're trying to have a good time tonight. Let's go, baby.
It's time for another episode of What's the Buzz with your girl LT, bringing you the latest in entertainment information, news, and updates right here on Simply IV every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. First up in entertainment news tonight, Cardi B. Over this past weekend, Cardi B had a lot of excitement going on. It started out on Friday, where she dropped her newest release, Invasion of Privacy, that kicked off on Friday, April the 6th, with the first single coming from that being Be Careful. Not too long after that, on Saturday night, Cardi B showed up on Saturday Night Live to reveal her lovely baby bump. Congratulations to you. We reported that a couple of weeks ago that she was expecting, and she confirmed that this past weekend when she was on the show. She is expecting her first child, and this will be a fiance Offset. This will be his fourth. Congratulations to you both. Next up, Jay-Z is in the news. He had an opportunity to sit down with David Letterman with Netflix's My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. On Friday, April the 6th, the rapper sat down to talk about a couple things that have been a little bit elusive to some and he hadn't talked about before, but exclusively he shared with David Letterman about his infidelity. He touched a little bit about his relationship with Kanye West, how it's not, they're not just friends, but they're brothers, and just like in any relationship, brothers have their moments, and so he talked a little bit about that, as well as he talked about how emotional and how freeing it was that his mom finally came out publicly about being gay. He said he always knew, but to hear her say that she actually was in love with someone really meant a lot to him, to see that she was happy and she was free. But you can check out more of that on ET Online. You can see some of his interview with David Letterman. Next up, New England Patriots Julian Edelman. He's making moves not just on the field but off as well. The 31-year-old wide receiver for the New England Patriots had an opportunity to have an exclusive interview on Good Morning America. The young man was actually a really significant player in making sure that another school shooting did not take place here in our school. In the Port Huron area, there was a student there that reported, and we used the wide receiver's DM or use his Instagram account to say that, I quote, "I'm going to shoot up my school, watch the news," end quote. And it was in the Port Huron Area School District of Michigan. thanks to his swift action and him reporting it, he was able to not only save students, but he could also get that young man the help that he needed, the student that actually made the account or the report. So congratulations, Junior Edelman, for being an MVP, not just on the field, but off as well. And as we encourage you that if you see suspicious activity or someone making comments on your Instagram or social media pages, wherever it is, don't take those comments lightly. Please report it. Let the authorities know so that we can prevent the senseless acts that have taken place across our country and abroad. To round it out, Michelle Obama, for those of you who were really hoping she might be putting in her bid for president, it is not happening. Oprah said no, and now Michelle Obama is saying no as well. She said, first thing about the job of being president, you have to want it. And she said, that's not for her. She said that she never had a passion for politics. She was in it because of her husband. She said, and he even took her, drug her to a kicking and screaming. And I thought that was kind of entertaining. But she said, you know, it's hard. You know, she said, we just can't find women that we like. And they're suggesting that they do the job of being president. She said, because that's the problem that we have. We're picking people that we like and not necessarily people who are highly qualified to do a job. So shout out to you, Michelle Obama. You would have made a great president, but I truly understand that you don't. And I highly respect your decision to not run, and you to Oprah as well. But you can check out CNN.com for more of Michelle Obama's recording, her interview as she sat down to share her feelings about politics and why she is not running. Thank you for joining with us for another episode with What's the Buzz with your girl LT. If they're talking about it, we're bringing it to you right here on Simply IB every Wednesday night at 8 p.m.
And we are back, and we were just giving you a recap of what you guys may have heard on our last show before we went on hiatus, right? So you may be hearing some information that LT has shared with you. And this is good because there's so much information out there, and so get ready because probably next week we're going to be sharing a couple of What's the Buzzes with everybody, LT. Is that okay?
That sounds like a winner to me.
All right, because you do such a great job getting all the information that we need. So, guys, we still want you all to hear that. We're almost out of here, everybody. So what I want to do before we get out of here is leave you all with something that is going to help you go into next week. Remember, the show was about, is Black America moving in the right direction? So let's go ahead and start with LP right quick, and then we're going to hear from Clint, and then we're out of here. Do you think we're going in the right direction, LT?
I think in some regards we're going in the right direction, but in others I think there's some missteps that are taking place. I think we need to work together better, collectively working together, mm-hmm. surrounding one another, covering one another, holding one another community so that we don't have to worry about somebody else policing us. If we can do it home first, the way we used to be raised when we were growing up, it would be touch us. I think that's where I think our biggest misstep is, and I think we're allowing the system to dictate to us our continuous movements rather than us taking control of them. I do see in entrepreneurship that we are making many gains in that way. I think the biggest step came from those young men with Starbucks. I think, like you said, that is going to be the biggest changing of the tide where people are really being conscious and making decisions and choices, that it's not about the dollar. We're willing to lose money to keep money coming in. And I think if we as African Americans can take that same mentality, that same thought process for our businesses, we're going to spend money here first. I think we can continue to move forward. So that's my opinion.
Amen. Amen. Y'all heard it here. That was LT. She gave us a lot tonight. So, guys, if you missed any of it, you need to go back to blogtalkradio.com/IME radio where you can pick that up. Quick. What would you like to leave with everybody? Is Black America moving in the right direction?
Yes, like I said earlier, we still have a long way to go. But we are making steps. The key is to keep moving forward. Don't go back to the other old ways or whatever. And make those steps positive. Keep them positive. But just for us to keep moving forward.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think it's that time. Everybody, we appreciate you being here with us. It's been a great show. And once again, we invite you to come back every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, okay? And you can do that by dialing 845-241-9898 or listening by going to blogtalkradio.com/IAMRadio. We're happy to be back, but we're not going to be here too much longer because we're moving on up and we're moving to better things, and we pray that you all follow us, okay? All right? So once again, it's been my pleasure. And tonight was a great conversation. We didn't get to all of our segments, but we will have them on deck for you next week. Have a great, great Wednesday, and we look forward into seeing you next week right here on Simply IV. Have a great one, everybody.